It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. Yes, that's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. It's your daily sports dump. It's today, Monday, April 6th. We don't have any jokes for you today. We don't have any mock draft updates for you today. And we don't have any Mondays with Mike today. Now, the mock draft updates, we're not doing those every day because they're not that interesting. The jokes, well, Quincy usually writes most of those. And I write some of them, but neither of us did it today. And the Mondays with Mike, well, those may have to wait a while. My brother's got a lot of work, and it's always on Mondays. So maybe we'll switch that to Wednesdays with Mike, and it still has the W there, so whatever. But today we have something very special. I don't know if you know this, folks, but WrestleMania 36 was this past weekend, one of the last live sporting events of the coronavirus era, at least the beginning of it. That cheering is not for the coronavirus era. It's there from the previous recording, and I'm just going to keep in there. And it's for wrestling. And we've got a friend of mine, Mark Warzeka, who has been working in and with and around wrestling for years, who's going to give us the lowdown on the recap on WrestleMania 36, I believe it was. And we go into some other stuff, talk about Vince McMahon, how he's, you know, flexible of mind, and if not body, and how that's contributed to his success versus some other people. And then at the end of the episode, because my other podcast, or one of my other podcasts, the Big Red Cobcast, didn't do an episode this week, I've got a little bit of material for the Husker fans at the end. So if you're not a Husker fan, maybe you should think of becoming one, and then you can listen to the end of this episode. Just a couple of recruiting updates and thoughts of mine. And that's about it for today. So, without further ado, please sit back. We had a lot of technical difficulties before this, so that's why the beginning of it, we talk about them. But please enjoy my WrestleMania wrap-up with Mark Warzeka right now. Let me welcome Mark Warzeka, our wrestling expert. Welcome again, Mark.
It's great to be here, and I love being referred to as a wrestling expert.
Well, that's what you are. You are the Sports Dump wrestling expert, and it's time for wrestling to be, you know, up at the forefront. But before, and I know I did this again, but this is for our listeners, I know Mark from way back in Second City times. He was my first director at the Second City, and I want to mention this again because it was so important. The big lesson I drew from you was to edit, to cut down your material until it's the purest, funniest form. And what that allows is more material to get into the show. So to take it in wrestling parlance, if they want more matches, just do the great moves in your matches, get them over quick, and you can throw more matches in there.
Some of the matches at WrestleMania this weekend could have definitely used some edit philosophy behind them.
I'm sure. Because, you know, they've got to fill. Well, they'll tell us a little bit about it. Now, we're starting over. It's a two-day event this year, right?
Yeah. There has been thought for a while that maybe they should move it from 2 days to 1 day. And this is why. Back in the early days of WrestleMania, the WrestleMania was 3 hours. Then it went to 4 hours. But in recent years, because the roster is so big and they have all these shows, they have a show called Raw, a show called SmackDown, a show called NXT, they want to get everybody on the show. And WrestleMania has been 6.5 or 7 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, sometimes with a pre-show that's longer. So it's an interminable length. It's way too long to be enjoyable.
Yes. Super Bowls are too long.
Do you want to watch for that long? The Super Bowl is not that long.
No.
So it's way too long. So people have been saying they should go to two nights. So I think because of the quarantine situation, they sort of did a beta test.
Right.
What if we try the two nights and see how it goes? It was much better, in my opinion, to watch over two nights.
Okay.
Than one marathon.
Well, like many things, this situation is causing us to be a little more creative and try things outside the box. Now, some of that is out of desperation in terms of medical needs, but a lot of it is also just, you know, from our perspective in the entertainment world, what's going to work? What can we try? We have to still make stuff. And maybe that's a good innovation that came out of it.
I bet it stays. Like, I'd be very surprised if they went back to the one night next year. I bet it'll stay.
All right. Now, so it was over two nights, and there was no crowd. So talk to me about how they handled this with no audience. I watched a little bit of the first night, which was one match in an empty arena, which looked like a practice to me. And then the second night, I watched The Undertaker outside in a cemetery, which we talked about in our first take, but we're going to bring it up again. So tell me how that all affected things, you know, the different ways they had to do it this time.
Yeah, so WrestleMania is typically in front of 80,000 people. It's in a big football stadium. It was going to be in Tampa this year. It had to be canceled, of course, because of the lockdown and the quarantine. But Vince McMahon, who runs at WWE, is either very determined or very stubborn or
both.
Insane,
both,
depending on how you
old
look at it.
Old white rich men have a tendency to not be super open-minded.
Well, he was determined to still have his WrestleMania, even with zero people in the audience, wrestling in front of no crowd.
I mean, that it really, you know, there's going to be other sports with no crowds soon. There's already been soccer. They've done that a few times, mostly due to racist Italians, where they close off the stadium.
Mm.
They've done that number of times in Italy, where they're like, okay, your fans are too racist. No fans at this game. It's amazing. that's not a joke. That's real. But watching it, it really did feel different.
It doesn't work great. I work a little bit in wrestling, but mostly in comedy, you know. And,
yes. Yes.
It's a similar vibe to, like, if you were going to do a big comedy show with no audience and no laughs, you know, in an arena or in a theater with no audience. It's a weird thing. I mean, we're kind of used to it.
I was about to say,
Los Angeles.
No one is more prepared to perform in front of no audience than improvisers in Los Angeles.
That's right. But these wrestlers are doing. So you were saying you have to get creative.
Yes.
So doing regular matches in front of no fans didn't work great.
Right.
And they kind of realized it. So they said, can we get some of these matches? Can we do something different? So, for example, with the Undertaker match, it was supposed to be a regular match in the stadium at WrestleMania. But since they had no people, they said, what if we shot this like a movie in a cemetery?
Yes.
And it was very creative and it was very well received.
Who did he fight?
Loved it.
He threw a dude off the roof.
Yeah, he threw a dude off a roof. There was fireworks. He buried the guy in a grave at the end.
What?
His opponent is named AJ Styles. AJ Styles got buried in a grave. There was a tombstone with his name and his birth date and his death date on it.
All right, so AJ Styles, what is that kind of, you know, you have a heel, you have whatever. What is the guy who basically goes up and is just going to get demolished by the evil dude? That's what AJ Styles sounds like in his name to me. Sounds like young up-and-coming wrestler who's going to get his ass kicked by the evil dude.
Well, he definitely is AJ was definitely the heel in this.
Oh, he was the
Undertaker.
Heel.
Yeah, he was the heel because Undertaker is the good guy or the baby face.
Undertaker, a guy named Undertaker. Now, he's been back. He's been both, hasn't he?
He's been both.
Yeah.
Yes, he was a bad guy for many years from when he first debuted back in 1990.
Jesus.
He's 55 years old.
My God. If he was born in 90, he'd be about wrestling age right now.
Yeah, that's right. He'd be peaking right now.
Jesus.
So he's 55. But he was a bad guy for many, many years. But then he became so popular and so kind of respected even as a bad guy that they had to turn him into a good guy. So he's been a good guy for a long time.
And while still maintaining the name The Undertaker.
The Undertaker in a very dark, demonic persona where he kills his opponent and buried him.
Well,
in this thing,
maybe it's a sign of the times.
Yeah,
you choose the heroes that you need.
For sure.
Exactly. So you would mark this as a success for WrestleMania.
I think that I think that overall this was a not successful WrestleMania because the majority of the show was in front of no fans.
Okay.
It didn't work well. A lot of people didn't like it. But they tried a few matches outside of the ring especially that Undertaker match, was very well received.
Right.
I think that aspect of it was successful, and I think it's something that we will see stay as a new element of wrestling, even when the crowds come back. And I think the two-night WrestleMania was also a success that I think will stay.
You know, and this is an interesting thing it's an interesting lesson. Try shit. Because the worst that happens is you never do it again. As improvisers, we know this. You go out there, and there's a bad element to it in that probably the 100 funniest things I've said, I've maybe written down 3 of them. The other 97 being random improvised things that happened that will never come again. But, you know, and at Second City when we worked, it was try this up in front of an audience. You don't know if it's going to succeed. If it doesn't succeed, you throw it away. If it does, you have something new you never would have thought you had. So Vince McMahon, he also is doing the XFL. And the thing I like about McMahon, there are things to not like about McMahon, but what I do like is these chances that he does take, he's able to, he's not a status quo guy. He wants to keep pushing it, and you get failures in that, but you also get big successes. And in the XFL, they've done a few experimental things before the season ended that the NFL is definitely going to adopt. And the NFL never would have tried it in the first place. So it's, again, in these circumstances, you're going to have to be flexible in your mind and an improviser of sorts in whatever field you're in.
Yeah, I think that is very true about him. He's always pushing, and trying to create and make bold choices, which I agree, like, definitely connects to improv. What are the elements of XFL that you think will be implemented in NFL?
The kickoff, I think, is very interesting. Did you watch any of the games where the players? So it keeps players from running 60 yards into each other, which is the big collisions. I also think they just started it, so I think teams are going to start, you know, when they do it more, figuring out ways to play with that new kickoff where, you know, there's new ways to score out of it that we haven't even thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, to me, it's just a more natural, interesting way where everybody has to wait till the guy catches the ball instead of when the guy kicks the ball, because when he catches it is when the action really should start. So I think that is going to be both safer and allow for more exciting play once they figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They also had some things with a referee who can just step in at any point and say, none of this flag shit. I saw the real call. So you're going to get rid of some of the, hopefully, you know, all the bureaucracy with getting a call right that they have in the NFL. There's just going to be a guy who's like, no, here's what it is. No need to dabble with all the shit. And so those were the basic things right now that I think they did. But even those things would be huge for the NFL in terms of changing the game. They don't like to change in the NFL because why would you kill the golden goose?
Right.
You know?
Right. What about field goal?
Well,
do you think they would
get
they would
rid of it?
Do what XFL did? Yeah.
I think they might. Now, that really marginalizes the kicker even more, but the kicker has always been kind of marginalized and blamed. So if you can eliminate his responsibility, then that guy at least will, who's kind of not even part of the team now, at least he will be less ostracized from everyone. And really, yeah, how interesting is a field goal? Not very.
What the XFL did instead of field goal.
Well, the extra point, actually.
It's kind of wacky.
The extra point thing, yeah.
It was like a little bit like a game show, you know. It's like you could go from the 5 or the 10 or the 15 or whatever.
Yes.
You get 1, 2, or 3 points. It's kind of wacky, but I don't know. I didn't miss the field goals, I got to tell you.
And you're talking about the extra points, actually. They still can do field goals, but this is score.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also did a thing where if you're going to onside kick, which is also very dangerous. They don't do the onside kick as much now in the XFL, actually. They changed it to you go 4th and 15, so you run a regular play.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think these are elements. They're putting in more of the stuff people want to see. They're, surprisingly, as opposed to the last time of the XFL where they really embraced the violence, this time they've got a few innovations that are player safety forward. So I thought that was kind of interesting for Vince McMahon, whose brand has always kind of been, again, XFL, Extreme. But here he's looking at it, I think, in a little bit better, more responsible way, and may have better results from it. Now, of course, it got cut off halfway through the season because of this, but that may have been a blessing in disguise too.
Yeah, it's interesting how he came back to this XFL league because it was such an epic failure.
Yeah.
Then they did that ESPN 30 for 30 on it a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And McMahon saw from that people still remember this. They remember the brand. Maybe they remember it for bad reasons, but they still remember the brand. I'm going to learn from every mistake I made the last time.
Yep.
And try to fix all of those things and relaunch it with a new improved version. And we only got to see half the season because of this, you know, the lockdown.
Yep.
But it was definitely much better received.
Definitely.
Better received.
The last time something like this was the USFL. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a person who basically destroyed the entire USFL single-handedly. He's moved on to bigger and better things. It's Donald Trump. And he basically ruined the USFL. That league was going to compete for a while with the NFL, maybe got eventually do like the AFL and merge with it. But Trump wanted money right away, sued the NFL, won, but the settlement was a dollar. So all the money they put into it folded the league, basically, and they won a dollar settlement. Now, it's unusual to find out that Donald Trump is a huge failure and can take down a huge successful thing. But I guess he's capable of that, and now he's using those skills.
I'm curious because you know sports so well. Do you think that there is – can the XFL be successful under any circumstances? Do you think there's room in the world for essentially a spring football league?
Because they have the cooperation of the networks, and there is – this year, I think it's eventually going to become much more tied in with the NFL. Which is that's the reason McMahon is doing this. The money. He wanted to get back into it because the money in the NFL is crazy. They just signed a 10-year CBA, which was horrible for the players. A collective bargaining agreement. I was yelling the whole way through because they wanted to add an extra game. And my point is, you add extra work, that's a non-starter from my negotiating standpoint. You want me to add an extra game a year, double everybody's salary, and then you get it. That's my starting point for that. Because never take extra work.
Mm-hmm.
Never. If your boss is like, you got to come in every 2 weeks on a Saturday now, that's a big ask.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the NFL gave that in. And then I was talking to a friend of mine, Ephraim Salam, who played 13 years in the NFL, retired about 7 years ago. His insurance just ended from the NFL. But that's when his knees are starting to go and everything. Like, you know, they give you 7 years, and that's what this CBA did, is cut out all the veterans because it's short-term thinking. Now, to answer your question about is there a viable thing, I think yes. I think as long as they keep these innovations and make it almost like a beta test for the NFL, and some of these players are translating into the NFL now. A number of their stars already got signed by NFL teams. So I think if they continue to cultivate the relationship with the NFL and the networks, that is how they'll do it. And don't try, like dumb Trump, to take down the NFL when you're a neophyte. That's something only a complete moron, sociopathic, narcissistic, much stupider than he thinks he is type person would do. And the person who fulfills all those things more than anyone is Donald Trump, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Exist happily as a smaller secondary league that feeds into the NFL at a different time of year. And the other thing that when you were saying money, I think the other thing that Vince McMahon was really counting on, and this has worked for him already in wrestling, is that there is a live programming sports and entertainment bubble right now for the networks. Because everything on network TV is dying.
Yep.
And they think that the only things that are DVR proof that people will still tune in to watch are live sporting events and some types of live entertainment events, which is why you see a lot of the networks doing those big live musicals and stuff.
Yep.
They want that. So there's a bubble for that stuff because Vince McMahon got insane TV contracts for Raw and SmackDown in the last round of negotiating over that last, 2 years ago, including moving SmackDown for the first time ever to network television. I mean, he's never had in the, you know, he's been running wrestling since 1984. They've never had a weekly wrestling television show on network primetime.
It's on
television,
Fox, right?
Until now. It's on Fox on Friday nights. So he got, you know, insane deals because of this bubble. So, I mean, I'm sure that that had to be a big factor in him deciding to start up this league.
Yeah.
You know, just thinking if the ratings just have to be solid and you get people tweeting about it, which, you know, networks like, and I'll get a contract somewhere for this league.
And he adapted his innovations. He knew he would have to separate himself from the NFL in some way. Now, the last time he tried it with the violence and everything, but that was before all the brain damage stuff came out. And again, this is why a guy like that continues to thrive. He changes, he adapts, he takes chances, but again, and when you're at that point, you can take chances. You and I can't take million-dollar chances because we don't have $1 million. But he's not content. He's a guy who clearly if he retired, he'd die. You know, he's
absolutely
constantly moving as a human being. I'd actually rather have him as our president. But that's because I'd rather have anyone as our president, honestly. That literally, maybe Stephen Miller would be worse. Maybe someone like Devin Nunes might be worse. Or maybe the guy from Arkansas, Cotton. There's a few real evil, evil people who are much smarter than Trump. But of people I can think of, he is in the bottom 10 in the world. Even Putin would run this country better.
Well, Vince's wife, you know, Vince McMahon's wife, Linda McMahon, was part of Trump's cabinet for the first 2 years.
Yep.
She left. Now, she left at the midterm. She, like, quietly left. But she was the head of the Small Business Administration. Boy, that'd be an interesting job to have right now.
Oh, my God.
But she was the head of that, and that's technically a cabinet position. They're tight. Like,
sure.
The McMahons and the Trumps are tight.
They are tight, but I also think the McMahons know to keep him at a distance close enough to benefit from, but far enough away from not suffer from. Like, I suspect maybe she was like, God, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, like, I make a little money off this. We give him some money. We get this big position. We use that. We leverage it for ourselves. But she may have been behind the scenes like, this is madness.
She's like, I can handle pro wrestling, but I can't handle this.
I don't want. Yes. I don't want to be going down to The Hague in 3 years for human rights violations.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I try not to get, oh, shit, I got to do a Nebraska thing at the end of this episode. All right. I'm not going to get too political because all the Nebraska fans who listen get angry, but I don't know. He's a war criminal to me. He's a guy who committed human rights abuses and is going to cost the United States perhaps more casualties than World War II.
That may all likely be true. And do you know that Trump has had, you know, long-term, not only relationship with the McMahons, like behind the scenes, but he has appeared on wrestling.
Didn't he get slammed? Didn't he get slammed on, like, years ago? He got body slammed?
Way back in the day, WrestleManias 4 and 5 were at Trump Plaza.
Ah.
And Trump sat in the front row, expressionless, and just stared straight ahead at these matches he seemed completely bored with for 4 hours. But
well, what entertains him? The only thing that entertains him is cruelty. So I would think he might like some of it, but maybe he doesn't even get it.
I mean, he probably doesn't even get it. Yeah, he maybe likes the violence of it. But more recently, yes, he got involved. The biggest WrestleMania of all time was WrestleMania 21 in Detroit. And the match was a wrestler. Trump got to pick a wrestler. And Vince McMahon got to pick a wrestler.
Oh,
and it was a hair versus hair match.
Right. I do remember that.
So if Trump's wrestler lost, his wrestler was Bobby Lashley, and Vince McMahon's wrestler was Umaga.
I remember Umaga.
Yes. So if Trump's wrestler lost, Trump was going to have to shave his head bald.
Oh, my
that
God.
That was the stipulation of the match, and it was the biggest drawing, financially biggest drawing WrestleMania up to that point.
Oh, my
God. So it was huge. But, of course, Trump's wrestler won. And Vince McMahon got his head shaved bald by Donald Trump and Steve Austin and Bobby Lashley.
And let me say something. That is the difference between Trump and McMahon. Trump is a failure because he would not allow himself to lose in a fake fight.
That's right.
McMahon is a success because he realizes that fake fight doesn't mean a shit compared to the millions of dollars that he just made off of it. And that,
yeah, he realizes the money is in these fans getting to see my head shaved.
And that's an illustration of the difference in, quite honestly, intellect between the two. Trump is stubborn because he's dumb. He's dumb. He has no sense of humor. He doesn't understand anything. Truly, he does. What a thing to say about your president. He does not understand things. That's a general statement you can make about him.
Yeah, when you say no sense of humor, I've always thought one thing about him, I always find very peculiar. I've never seen him laugh.
No.
I've never seen him laugh one time ever at anything.
Well, in my opinion, and this is maybe, you know, self-serving, but I've always thought humor and the ability to both create it and get it is a sign of intelligence. Like, satire is something that people don't get because they don't understand satire. Not that they're dumb, but they haven't been exposed to it enough. They're ignorant. And so in their worldview, there is nothing that is satire. Like, you wouldn't do something fake to make a point. That concept is foreign to a certain segment of the population. Some of them not exposed to it. Some of them just, like Trump, too dumb to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But wrestling appeals to all.
Yeah. Well, the funniest part of Trump's appearance at WrestleMania was he had agreed, I guess, you know, to be attacked
right
by Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he was going to be hit by Stone Cold Steve Austin's famous finishing move, the Stone Cold Stunner. But Trump completely fucked up the move.
Of course.
So it looked atrocious, so much so that Austin did the move on Trump, saw what a clusterfuck it was, and just in the middle of everything, Austin just busted out laughing.
Oh.
Just busted out laughing at how badly.
Too bad he didn't really fuck it up and hurt himself badly. I hate to say something like that. But
yeah, it could have saved us all a lot of trouble.
Oh, a lot, really. And we wouldn't have even thought about it. All right. Well, this was a great enlightening wrestling episode. I got to learn a lot about it and about this most recent sporting event that this might be the last one we can actually talk about for a while. So I'm glad I got an opportunity to get you on. And again, you long ago suggested that I'd be a good podcast host, and I am. No one listens, but I keep doing it, partially on your recommendation.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that, because I have always thought that about you, that this a very wide, you know, skill set. But I always thought that this thing in particular would be something that you'd be great at, and you are.
Because I can't stop talking.
That's essentially
what it is. Well, if you have a birthday party for your kid, let us know. We'll drive by.
Thank you.
And say hi to Beth and everyone. And this was a great having you on. The next sporting event could also be a wrestling event, Mark, at this point. So they're going to be the last ones to not do it. So we may have another one of these to talk about soon.
Anytime. Yeah, there may be nothing but wrestling till August.
Well, that's true. Yeah. All right. Well, if so, you'll be a regular member.
Great.
All right. I will talk to you later. Thank you so much, Mark.
All right. Thanks, Sal. Talk to you soon.
Bye. And that was our conversation with Sports Dump wrestling expert Mark Warzeka. We may have him back on very soon, folks, because wrestling could be the only thing we've got going on. But until then, we've got a little bit more going on. I run a couple other podcasts, one with a few other guys called the Big Red Cobcast, and I've got something for you in just a second from that. The other one is just a quick announcement. It's a podcast I do with another guy. It's called At the Doobies with Spliffkel and Ebernt. And I'll just tell you what, folks, marijuana is coming everywhere. Okay, states are going to need to make up money from all this, and it's going to become legalized for a number of reasons. One, it should be, and that's all you need to know. So this month on the At the Doobies podcast, which I do on not on YouTube, but on Spotify and iTunes, I'm giving you 420 tips for the month of 420. Now, if you don't know, 420 is code for, like, stoner stuff. So that is 420 stoner tips in the month of 420, which is this month right now. Each day I'm doing 14 different tips. That adds up to 420 if you do it every day for 30 days. So you can go to all your usual places and subscribe to At the Doobies with Spliffkill and Ebert if you need some tips, because it's coming your way. Now, for our Cornhusker fans, which there may be a few of, there may be none of. Doesn't matter to me. I'm doing this show anyway. A few bits and pieces that I promised from my other podcast that didn't go this week, the Big Red Copcast. So if you're not a Husker fan, either become one right now or join us tomorrow when there probably won't be as much Husker content. For the Husker fans, I just wanted to say that we have offered a bunch of quarterbacks in 2022, many of whom are unranked, only one of whom is a dual threat guy from Texas who we just offered, Alex Origi. He's the biggest one, 6'3", 210. He looks good. All the others are pro style, which I find unusual, but also the fact that our quarterback coach, Verduzco, sends out early offers, and that usually pays off very well for us at Nebraska. Now, we are hanging in 2021. We do not have a commitment at quarterback right now. So that's kind of weird, because a lot of other schools do. But there are a couple of guys who are interested and may have already committed, if not for the COVID-19 situation, who are planning to visit whenever that eventually can happen, one of them being Peter Costelli. And that could prove very beneficial to us at the Huskers, because as I'm looking at their offers, he's the only guy I see offered at quarterback for this season who hasn't committed elsewhere. That doesn't mean Jake Garcia or someone else may not. But also these names, here's a few of them. Peter Costelli, Santino Marucci. I mean, these are some Italian names. Verduzco going for his brethren. I just broke my phone. So people may be worrying a little bit about quarterbacks this year for Nebraska. And like I said, there's only one guy on the list here who has an offer who's ranked. I believe there's an in-state quarterback in Nebraska who might be a fallback and actually might be one of the best options, because they've got some real talent ahead of him, and it may be tough to get a talented quarterback in as a freshman for that 2020 class, or is it 2020 or 2021 class, rather, because they may not want to be stuck behind these other guys, whereas a guy like him in-state wants to play for Nebraska, developmental guy, could come in. We've had guys do this many times before. Kellogg, just a couple years ago, the quarterback, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, but the backup came in, won a game, maybe lost a game. The point is, don't panic on the 2021 quarterback class. We've got potential in Costelli, who is still very interested, and we have the in-state guy who isn't ranked yet, but will probably be a 2- or 3-star ranked guy and is one of the better in-state quarterbacks we've had access to in a while. Part of me actually would rather get him. Have a little, you know, Brock Berenger kind of situation there. I think Nebraska always benefits from that kind of thing, hometown quarterback. Frost should know about that. So if you're a Husker fan and you're worried about quarterback play or quarterback recruiting, I'm here to tell you, don't worry yet. All right. Fatty rides the bus for you Husker fans. And for the rest of you, you can, you can follow us. You're already doing that on the iTunes or wherever it may be. But you can also go to Twitter and follow us at Sports Dump Show. You can also go to Instagram and follow us at Sports_Dump_Show. That's because I screwed up the address for the Sports Dump. The_Sports_Dump is what it is, actually, on Instagram. I also have a Patreon. It's impossible to find because I have no patrons yet, but it is also called The Sports Dump. It's on Patreon. I believe our only donation limit number now is $1, because I only have bumper stickers to send out to folks. And so if you gave more, I wouldn't really have much of value other than our material to give you. I'm thinking of putting some footage up on the main site, on the Patreon site, of just me getting hit in the nuts, because the guys in the Cobcast don't want to do that for some reason. I think it'd be something very popular. So I'm considering doing that. But the only way I'll know if you want that kind of stuff is if you rate and review us on iTunes or if you contact us through Twitter. All right, that's more than enough for today. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye. Wear a mask now.